You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we continue in our Missions Emphasis Month, talking with various ministries and missionaries around the world, making an impact for the kingdom of God, knowing Christ and making him known. And our guest today is a part of a global ministry, but specifically serving in the country of Iraq. His name is Matt Nowry, and he is with Samaritan's Purse. I'm sure you've heard of this ministry, but Matt, thank you so much for being a part of our Missions Emphasis Month.
My pleasure, Adam.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about Samaritan's Purse? This is a very prominent ministry that has been around for a long time and has had a huge impact for the kingdom of God. But for any of our listeners who may not know about Samaritan's Purse, can you give us a brief description of it?
Certainly. Samaritan's Purse is a non-denominational evangelical Christian organization that provides spiritual and physical aid to hurting people all over the world. We very much believe that we don't run from a storm. We are called to run to a storm and help in the name of Jesus.
Tell us a little bit about some of the needs that the ministry is providing for those who are suffering. You're running into the front lines at a lot of these places and where there is a crisis. Can you tell us a little bit about why this is such a necessity for those who are being hurt and those who are affected on the ground?
So Samaritan's Purse, as I was mentioning, we run into disasters. Right now, currently, with the Hurricane Matthew that just went through Haiti, we have a DC-8 airplane that is running relief supplies right now to Haiti. We have over a dozen country offices all over the world running various projects. We run WASH programming, which is water, sanitation, hygiene programming, providing clean water, hygiene education. We also do a lot of feeding programming, nutrition, providing food for vulnerable people. We do a lot of disabilities programming. We also work in the protection sector. We work in the shelter sector, where people that have just lost everything, specifically again here with Hurricane Matthew, would be a good instance where we have resources that God has blessed us with that we can go in and help people rebuild their lives. Where they just lost their home, we can help set up a structure for them so that they can get out from underneath the weather and come around them in the time that they're most vulnerable. Everything that we do with Samaritan's Purse is in the name of Jesus Christ. We take our commandment from the Gospel of Luke and the story of the Good Samaritan, and we very much believe that we should go and help in the name of Jesus Christ to our brothers and sisters all over the world. We also have a large program at Operation Christmas Child, which are the shoebox gifts for children. It's a beautiful ministry. I've been able to provide shoeboxes in countries like Sudan, Ethiopia, now in Iraq. And it's amazing to see a child's eyes light up. A lot of times, this is the first time they've ever received a gift. And so to be able to provide a shoebox full of little toys and candies, some hygiene items, toothbrush, toothpaste, soap, a washcloth, some basic necessities, I think that we would say, but they mean everything to children in these countries that have been devastated from war and famine and natural disasters. And so to be able to give a gift in the name of Jesus and let that child know that a young boy or girl or a church or a family in America or throughout the world packed a shoebox just to tell them that they are loved and that Jesus knows who they are is a lot of fun. We also have a project called Children's Heart Project, where we identify children in various parts of the world that have heart defects. Maybe the country doesn't have the ability to provide the care needed. And so we're able to through a strict criteria, select some children and get them to a hospital somewhere in the world where we can get the doctors and nurses and medical professionals around them to just provide the care that they need and help their heart heal, which is also a very, very cool project. We have lots of really amazing stuff going on all over the world.
And you're serving as the director of Samaritan's Purse in Iraq. This is a country that is at the center of a lot of our media with all of the tragedies that have taken there with ISIS and the fallout from a long war there. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing currently in the country of Iraq?
So Samaritan's Purse has been here in northern Iraq since 2008, and we've been providing aid to the Iraqi people. They're an amazing group of people. We've fallen in love with them. We've been here several years now. Our specific programming that we're working on right now, we have a livestock program. Many of you have heard of the Yazidi people group that ISIS had tragically captured their towns and had taken a lot of their wives and their daughters captive. There's still an active trafficking of the Yazidi people group by ISIS. And so one of the things that our office is doing here is we're able to provide sheep to these families that have lost their livelihood and sheep to ISIS. Some of them have lost their wife, or some of them have lost their daughters at the hands of ISIS. And so right now it's a livestock restocking program where we're providing each head of the household 20 sheep to help them get back on their feet, to try and restore hope and dignity. If you can imagine, these families were just going about their normal life when ISIS came and took everything, robbed everything from them. And so one of the things that our office is trying to do is help restore hope and dignity in these families that have lost everything. The Christians here in Iraq have a deep, deep history. It's been one of the most significant things for me personally in learning how deep-rooted Christianity is in this part of the world. Maybe you guys don't know, in the city of Mosul, ancient Nineveh, the story of Jonah, if you go back in the Bible, had the people will come and visit and they'll say, well, how old is Mosul? And one of the things, unfortunately, that ISIS destroyed in Mosul was Seth's tomb, Adam's son Seth. So it goes back literally to the first few people that walked the earth here. There's just been an incredible learning experience for us in how to work with the different faiths that are here and trying to come alongside them and encourage them. A lot of the Christians here have lost hope. Many people don't realize that Christians in Iraq and in this part of the world, many of them were very affluent. And so they were very much similar to Americans that I grew up around. Very common for them to have a home that was worth $300,000-$400,000. They had a couple of cars. They saved for their kids' college, the same as many of you would. And ISIS came in overnight and stripped all of that away from them. And so now, over 2 years later, they're living in a tent. They're relying on an organization to come and give them food so that they can make it through the day. They don't have a mattress. They don't have a pillow. Life is desperate here for them. And so the psychological trauma that these Christians have faced has been immense. And so one of the things that our office is trying to do, again, is restore hope and dignity. We sit with these families and we tell them, while we don't understand everything and why this has happened, we just sit with them and listen to them and let them tell their story. We pray with them. We remind them that Jesus loves them. And he's not forgotten about them. And we try and encourage them to start fresh as best we can. We have clean water. We're right now drilling another well for a camp here in Erbil, Iraq, that will provide clean drinking water to over 7,000 beneficiaries, all persecuted Christians here in Iraq. We're putting in several playgrounds for the children so they have a safe place to play. We've got a wash program where we're providing all of the water, sanitation, hygiene services in a formal UN camp to over 15,000 Yazidis. We've got two medical clinics, one that is up in the northwest corner of Iraq in Duhok that serves Yazidis. We have two general practitioners, a dentist, a pharmacist, OBGYN doctor. All of this medical clinic is free of charge, a full pharmacy to provide all of the medicines for these Yazidis. Again, they don't have anything. They're living in tents. And so that's a service that we're able to provide for them. We have another medical clinic that's near the Kirkuk region in a town called Chamchamal. And those services are provided to Kurds that faced a lot of difficulty in the 80s and 90s with the Ba'ath Party. And so we've been serving there since 2008 in Chamchamal. again, a couple of general practitioners. We have a dermatologist there. We have two dentists in that clinic, a pharmacist. So God's allowed us to do some incredible things here in Iraq. One of the beautiful things about serving and working here is the hospitality of the Iraqi people. Whether we're speaking of Arab Iraqis or Kurdish Iraqis, Yazidis, it really doesn't matter. Every one of them are incredibly hospitable and welcoming to us. And so, again, everything that we're doing, all of the medical clinics, all of the clean water programming, all of our feeding programs and shelter, it's all geared towards sharing the love of Jesus Christ with these Iraqi people.
I love the foundation and what your purpose and vision is as the Samaritan's Purse, the Good Samaritan. We are, as Christians, there to provide for the needs of the world, and that comes from the church. It comes from us as the body of Christ as we seek to minister to those who are in need. And for you to serve in Iraq, it's such a great report to hear that all of the things that you're able to do there, but also the positive attitude that you have and the people that are welcoming you in, and the opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. What are some of your needs? What are some of the things that are crucial for you to continue to do the work that you have to do there in Iraq?
So this is a critical time for the country of Iraq. We're being told right now to expect the Mosul liberation to commence very soon, any day now. And the Humanitarian Coordinating Committee here in Iraq is saying that we should expect 1 to 2 million people to be displaced from the city of Mosul, ancient Nineveh. Where I'm sitting right now is about an hour's drive by car. If you could go into Mosul, so we're not far from the front lines and where all the fighting is with ISIS right now. ISIS captured the city of Mosul in June of 2014. So they have been able to really entrench themselves in the city. The people that have been living under them have seen what I believe is the worst terror the world has ever seen. And so in any day now, we're going to be flooded with Iraqis that are displaced from Mosul that have faced a lot of trauma. And they will have lost everything. We're expecting a large battle for the city of Mosul. The humanitarian coordinator here in Iraq said not long ago to us in a meeting that she believes that this will be the largest humanitarian catastrophe since Rwanda. And so we're doing our very best to prepare for that flood of people that are going to be coming out of the Nineveh Plains, out of Mosul, and into Erbil, Duhok, Sulaymaniyah, into these major cities that are on the border of Mosul. And so Samaritan's Purse has pre-positioned supplies. We have heavy-duty tarp plastic to provide shelter for these families that are going to be displaced. We have food parcels. We have right now 15,000 food parcels. Each of those food parcels is for a family size of five, so 75,000 people ready to eat. They won't have the ability to cook food. They're going to be stranded in the desert, quite honestly, and so this is all ready to eat food items for them. We have literally tons of clean drinking water, bottled water. We're going to be trucking clean water in as well. You can imagine in the desert, it's very hot in the day. They're going to need lots of water, so we've got all of those services. We're also positioned to help set up quickly infrastructure such as latrines and showers. We're going to be providing, again, the plastic to set up shelters to provide a little bit of security for these families. God has provided us with a few trauma counselors, professional trauma counselors, that we will also be working with and their teams to just try and help these families that are going to be coming out of Mosul. So it's a large-scale disaster that's right on the horizon, and we need your prayers. God has given us a great team here, a very capable team to respond in Jesus's name, but we can't do this without your prayers. So I'd ask first and foremost that you guys pray for our team. Pray for all of the people that are here working, the different organizations. Pray for the host communities, the people that are going to receive these folks out of Mosul. There's a lot of animosity, and there's a lot of belief that a lot of the the IDPs, those displaced out of Mosul, are going to be sympathetic to ISIS, and that they may in fact be ISIS themselves. And so this is a critical time right now in Iraq. It's important that these people see that they are welcome, that they are loved, and that Jesus loves them. So we could absolutely use your prayers. We need funding. If God puts it on your heart, you can give to Samaritan's Purse. It's www.samaritanspurse.org. There will be a lot of response that's needed, and we can't do this without your help. So I'd also ask that if you have some funding, if God puts it on your heart, please give to Samaritan's Purse.
This is a great ministry, and it's having a huge impact around the world, but especially as we're seeing here in Iraq, really at the front lines of a great humanitarian crisis. So we've been talking with Matt Nowry from the Samaritan's Purse. He's the director in Iraq. And if you want to find out more information about their ministry and about Matt specifically, please head over to our website at songtime.com. If you've missed any part of this interview, you'll want to hear it again, I'm sure. Please head over to our website again at songtime.com. Matt, thank you so much for the work that you're doing there on the front lines for the church, for the body of Christ, as we seek to minister to those who are in great need, but also for taking your time out of your busy day and talking with us and our listeners about this great ministry.
Thank you, Adam. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.